Well, some of you may recall the 1994 movie Maverick with Mel Gibson, James Garner, and Jodie Foster. And it's hard to believe that the movie is over 30 years old, so I guess we would now refer to that as an old Western or a comedy classic, I guess, old Western from 1994, 30 years old. It is a rather clever movie. It has some witty points of humor in it. But as you may remember, there was one scene where the three of the main leading actors are in a wagon, but it's heading off the cliff because the individual who was supposed to be helping to drive the thing with six team of horses that were on there, or the six horses that made up a team, the individual had just randomly died in the movie. You know, they have to make it exciting, and so somebody had to stop the wagon from going off the cliff. And Maverick's father, that one being played as James Garner, they didn't reveal to it, it was his father at the time, they had a little bit of banter back and forth of who would get out there onto the horses and try to get them to stop. And of course, it was Maverick. And so he managed to get up on the horses, and he yelled emphatically, "Stop!" as they were about to head over the cliff. And the horses did respond. The only problem was he got threw off in the front, and so he's hanging on the edge of the cliff with two hands. James Garner and Jodie Foster, they walk over to him, and he says, "Come on, boy, give me your hand. Let me help you up." And Mel Gibson, playing the role of Maverick, he's very disgusted with the whole situation. He looks at his father, and he says, "I don't need your help, and I never want your help again." Instead of pulling out his hand for help, he pulled out a gun and aimed it at him. "Get away from me. I don't want your help." He's, "Okay, hey, okay," backed off. They both kind of kept walking, and, to emphasize what he meant, he even goes a little bit further and he yells at him as he's walking away, "I will never, ever need your help again. And I don't want your help." And then his footing slips a little bit more and he's about to fall off the cliff. He just, sheepishly, "Help, help," right after that. So his dad comes back over, puts his hand out and helps him up. It was a rather humorous part of the movie, but I was thinking about this a little bit. Sometimes it is the resenting or begrudging help that we ask for when we call the 800 number of a, credit card or something, messed up on a bill or something, and I'm not going to get help from them. They're the reason for the problem. And then you think, well, there's no other solution. I have to call and wait for them to respond and help me. But do you ever think there is times or are times when God has his hand figuratively extended towards us and we need help, but he's saying, if they'll only just come to me, if they'll only just seek my help, I can help them. Oh, thank you. Hopefully we never find ourselves in an attitude of going to God for help as a last resort, or as a, we might say, a spiritual maverick. The definition of a maverick is an independent-minded person who is a radical, rebel, individualist, and nonconformist. Basically, one who will only ask for help if it is an absolute last resort. And when it comes to conforming to the world, we do have to have a strong mind and I guess kind of be a maverick in that regard, where we're not going to conform, we're going to be strong, but at the same time we must yield to God's will. At the same time, we're not conforming, being strong in one, but we at the same time must be very sensitive to God's will in our life and yielding to Him, transforming or allowing our minds to be transformed. As we're told in Romans 12 and verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So while we do want to be strong-minded and prove all things, if you will, we strive not to conform, but we do want to be very sensitive to the will of God. Now, a true maverick will not yield to anyone's will but their own. This is the mindset of Satan the devil. As Christians, we do not want to conform, but we do want to conform to the perfect will of God. And this, of course, starts by seeking God daily through prayer. We never want to have these long gaps in prayer towards God. And really, when we think about even the outline of the model prayer, so much of that includes recognition of God's greatness. He knows all of our needs before we ask, but we still get on our knees and go to Him for help every day. Now, there are major categories and general categories that we can glean from the model prayer chapter in the book of Matthew. And there are those details that teach us many times how to go to God for help. And so much of it includes going to God for help and recognizing God is in heaven and we are here on earth and we need His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also need His help very much each day. And it starts with a daily context. So again, we don't want to wait for long gaps until we're basically spiritually on the cliff and then it's okay, as a last resort, I need help. I'm in a spiritual emergency, and there's no other choice. I have to go to God for help. But in life, invariably, there are reasons why individuals stop praying for periods of time. Not, you know, they don't include that in their daily habits, or it's sporadic. But why is it that some stop praying to God, or give it long gaps where there is no prayer, only going to God maybe as a last resort? Well, sometimes one may feel that their prayer is not being heard. Maybe there's been times where they've asked for deliverance or help in certain specific areas, and it's not answered, or that seemingly they think, well, He's not hearing my prayer. We do remember, though, too, that with God, 1,000 years is like a day to Him. So the perspective on time is quite different than our perspective on time. And you break that down a little bit more comparatively, that would mean one day. No, let's see. 1 hour. Yeah. So 1,000 years, 1 day. So 1 hour would be approximately 41.6 years. Now, you know, when you think about time to God, you know, relatively, I answered all of those prayers very quickly, one way or another. Now, we might not see it that way. And of course, if we took our vehicle in to get fixed and they said, well, you can pick it up in an hour, and it's 41 years later and it gets fixed, we have a problem. You know, we want that done very quickly. But time is a little different. But sometimes there's the feeling, well, my prayers aren't being heard, or they aren't being answered. And also sometimes when there is that feeling, or you feel like I'm not making a connection as I should, that's time to fast, time to draw close to God through fasting and prayer as well. Sometimes it's because one is discouraged. We know that Satan likes to discourage individuals as much as possible, and part of that discouragement is, you know, basically the thought process that, you know, God would not help you even if you tried, that God's not there to help, even if you wanted to. And Satan will project this thought overall. Sometimes one can feel that they don't need to go to God for help. Maybe things are really clicking along quite well, and so it's a false sense of security. You know, I got a solid routine, things are going well, very self-reliant. Well, they're mavericks, so that's not the right mindset, and there's really not a recognition that there is an adversary that's very strong, that we need help every single day. And then sometimes it's just the distractions of the world. There's not enough time in a day, and one can be so busy that they don't find the time to pray. And again, then there also may be times one stops praying because they have gone to God with prayer, but then there is a waiting, and that waiting for an answer has just been too long. Why keep persistently going to God for help? Has He even heard my prayer? But regardless of the reasons why, We must strive not to be a spiritual maverick. Every day, we must go to God for help and strength and be very yielded to Him as much as possible. And not only if we feel like we're hanging on by a thread on the cliff, and we must, otherwise there's no other option. Now, in the movie, again, Maverick was forced to realize that he needed his father's help. And there was an emergency, and it was that emergency that spawned that sheepishly asked question for help. Help me, please. Now, this is similar as far as that goes, as far as that mindset goes, you know, waiting until an emergency and then, okay, now I will, finally I will. That's really the way the world will be prior to the return of Jesus Christ and prior to eventually turning to God for help. There will be a great trouble, there will be a great emergency before man will finally turn to God for help. In the future, and already to a certain extent, it's like a wagon heading towards a cliff and being led by a team of horses. Now, the horses I'm talking about are the first four seals in Revelation: religious deception, wars, famine, and pestilence. And we understand that, to a certain degree, those horses are riding today. These details have been around for a long time, but they are going to run harder and faster towards that cliff as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, when those seals are fully open, if you will. There is coming that future time of world emergency, and there are already various emergency situations throughout the globe. Wars, drought, of course we have the fires in California, terrible what is going on there. It's just hard to contemplate the extent of the devastation, and really 100-mile-an-hour winds. That is just unbelievable to think about. And they're saying that, you know, there's tornadoes being spun off of that. That, to go along with the fires, like fire tornadoes, is terrible what is taking place, and an extreme amount of devastation. Religious deception is so great right now. If you really think about the beliefs of different religions that are out there, in which they truly believe, and many, and not a small number that believe this, but they believe that killing an innocent person is what God desires, for them to have a better afterlife, if you will. Killing the innocent, and they believe that they are pleasing God. A total religious deception. And it's not a small number who believe this. Lawlessness is abounding, and the love of many is growing cold. Yesterday, I was driving on I-24 South in Kansas City, and 30 minutes after I had been past a certain section, you know, Katie told me there was something that just hit on the news, and on this particular section, I was just there. There was a road rage incident, and one was shot and killed just right on that same stretch. They closed down the entire interstate. Right, it was I-29 South. I had just been there 30 minutes prior. And so you think, well, you know, we're living in the Wild West to a certain degree, and it is becoming a more dangerous place to live. But there is a lot going on right now, and it can seem as though the world is heading towards that proverbial cliff, and those team of horses are galloping hard. Now, how much harder are they going to gallop? How much more will it be until the Great Tribulation starts? We know that there are prophetic events that have to unfold first. We know there are certain players within the beast power that things will have to take place. How rapidly could it come about? Well, it depends on how fast God allows it to. But, you know, right now, it's enough for some to get on their knees and sigh and cry, asking the question, how long? How long will it be until Christ returns? And really, He will provide help. He is going to return with help. He will return with a perfect way of leading, but it will be a time of an emergency. But there is help to come. Prior to the global emergencies to come, we must draw close to God. Now is the time. Every single day, we must draw close to God. and daily stir up God's Spirit. I'll start in Matthew 24 in verse 15, where we see the things that are to come, but laced throughout some of the details for what is to come, there are specific instructions for prayer and praying to God. Matthew 24 in verse 15, "And therefore when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." This might be a good sermonette topic, just going over what the abomination of desolation is, what it looks like, and what it could be. "But then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath." We've had enough weather lately where we could say, okay, I understand that one very clearly, why that would be the case. "For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the whole world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." There is coming a future time where it will be a world emergency, and there will be those who are already close to God, and there will be those who will frantically scramble and try to get close to God. Of course, we understand the parable where we want to make sure we have our oil full, our lanterns full of oil. It's not too late. But, there are very specific details even on what to pray for here, thinking about that future help that is to come. It is regarding a help that will come, and we should be praying even now about that future help that is to come. In Luke 21 and verse 36, it says, "Watch, therefore, and pray always," Luke 21 and verse 36, "pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Very specific prayer to think about, but it involves receiving help in the future upon an emergency, a global emergency, prior to the great tribulation that will come. And there will be that future help that God will provide. We know that He will provide the church protection and safety. There will be a specific place that God will nourish and strengthen and care for the church. We know that there will be, not all will be there, and some will go through the tribulation. We do know that God will protect, and there is a plan in that regard. But now is the time that we would pray. We want to pray for God's help. We don't know exactly when that future time is, but we do know that God will provide help. He does this. There are various things where there is help to come, but we don't know always when that help is coming. However, we must still be vigilant on our part. I was on the way home from Winter Family Weekend, and there was a traffic jam on the opposite side, so, traveling back to Kansas City, I could see where the initial wreck was. It looked like everybody was okay, but the police had not arrived yet, and so people were just now starting to get backed up, maybe about a mile. And those that were showing up, they didn't know that there was a trucker that was on its side, and it was taking up both lanes. Again, it did look like everybody was okay. I don't know how it ended up flipping. The other car seemed to get out of the way as well. But, those that were just showing up, they know they were prepared to wait. They were going to have to wait. And that there was potentially a wreck that was there. You could maybe hear the sirens going on in the background. And those that first were there, somebody called 911. I'm sure somebody did. And what did they probably hear? Well, 911, what's your emergency? And they explained what was going on. And probably after that, it was, please wait, help is on the way. Now, some didn't know that there was already help on the way. Some didn't know that based on those cars that were just now arriving. But there was help that was on the way, and that was going to take place. Please wait, help is on the way. Oftentimes, we don't know exactly when God is going to provide help in various situations, but he does provide the help. And maybe sometimes the answer to prayers is, please wait, help is on the way. We don't realize that. And if you would like a title for this split sermon, it is Help is on the Way. Help is on the way. And the rest of the sermon, I would like to remind us of the special help that God provides us in a variety of ways. And we need the help that comes from God, always looking to him for help and encouragement and strength. There will be help received not only upon global emergencies, but God is very attuned to our needs in very specific ways. We need God's help in the largest fashions, and we need God's help in the very details of our life, the smallest details. You think, I need help. Now, last time I was at Costco, you would think that there was an emergency because I was going through the self-checkout and they have the flashing lights if you mess something up, you know, and you scan a piece of fruit. I guess it had two barcodes or something, scan the wrong one, put it over in the side. Didn't realize I scanned the wrong one, but once it goes there and it feels the weight of whatever you put down, now you've got an issue. Maybe you're trying to steal fruit. It wasn't scanned properly, so okay, you know, and the light goes off, and then you're looking around, and then, please wait, help is on its way. So that's what it says, that phrase, okay. I'll wait, and hurry up, helper. I need you to clear my name for stealing fruit, apparently. I know. Come on, let's go. And sometimes that's the way it is. We want it done yesterday. We need the help now, and we know it's on the way, but let's go. I gotta get a move on. And you know, having to wait in situations where we need help is just not easy in any way. It's easy to wait in Costco and wait for help. That's not a big deal. But when it comes to real situations that involve patients, we, in the weightier matters, you know, it is difficult and it can be. You know, we could be waiting for God to set something right, where there's an untruth or something that was not right, something not fair. Sure, you've never had any issues with erroneous charges or fraud on a credit card statement or something, you know, and you think, okay, that was not me, that not at all. You make a phone call. Okay, we'll take care of that. No, it's still there. How long is it going to take? Now, those are small things, but, you know, they're things that take time and are frustrating. And talking with an individual from Kansas City, you know, they did take their vehicle in, and it's just one thing after the next, and it's delay. Oh, it'll be done next week. No, next week. No, you don't know what's going on. Are they working other cars in ahead of them? But, you know, they're just having to wait patiently. When is that going to be done? Again, these are small things, but there are major things where we wait for God. It could be health trials, major health trials. When you seek God's help over and over again, you do what you are to do. We do what we're told in James, as it says in James 5 and verses 14 through 15. James 5, verses 14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And one can do their part and go to God for help, but again, that doesn't always mean it's going to take place immediately. There have been times where individuals have gone to, to request an anointed cloth or to ask for healing, and it has been immediate. There have been those times. That's not always the case. But there was one individual who had one of the worst migraines they'd ever had. It was debilitating and just complete pain. And you can get to the point where you're just almost bedridden. You can't do anything. And the individual really could not get out of bed. I think it's even affecting vision. So, you know, they just knew it was so bad they're going to need to ask for an anointed cloth. And in this case, I mean, she couldn't even pick up the phone to make the call. It couldn't see the buttons, and so asked her husband, will you please call and ask for anointed cloth for me. And, you know, she said that she could, as she was laying there with this intense migraine, and as she could hear her husband making the phone call, asking for the anointed cloth, as she could hear that, it was just completely lifted. It just totally went away immediately. And you know, there are those times where God just totally intervenes, and very quickly. And that's encouraging to us, but that's not always the case. But we always must remember that sometimes it is, please wait, but please wait, help is on the way. There's the example in Daniel where he fasted for 21 days. And he was very weak. He did not have much physical strength. And he was at a point where God gave him a vision, too. So he was strong spiritually, but he was very weak physically. And God allowed him to see this vision. But that vision was so intense, that too made him weak. It was overwhelming to him to see such a vision. He was tired. He needed help. Let's go ahead and turn to Daniel 10 and verse 8. Daniel 10 and verse 8. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. From the first day that he fasted, and of course there were prayers going along with the fasting, because he heard his words too. From the first day, that prayer was answered, and he heard his words. And I have come because of your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So during that time, and during that time he was fasting, there was a spiritual war that was taking place. Who withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he has spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips, then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? For me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of the man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You know, and here is an individual who, in just witnessing the visions of what is to come, was totally weak. Of course, he had been fasting too. And even in that situation, he was strengthened. And we know the things to come are not going to be encouraging with the end time events that will follow. But we also must understand if God is willing to strengthen him, even in seeing a vision of some of the challenges, you know, how much more will he help his people and provide help and strength? God was providing great strength to Daniel. And he started that from the moment he started the fast. So there are times where sometimes we do get an answer. We think, this is unbelievable. Maybe it's favor with a boss or whatever it may be. It's so encouraging. You think, this is unreal. I prayed this months ago before. Well, God was working it out at the right time. And there are times where you get to that point, but you don't know all of the details that took place prior to. And so God has a plan. Please wait. Help is on the way. Now, this should encourage us to be consistent, persistent, and predictable in prayer. We don't always know when, but we can trust that He hears us. He knows. He hears. Moving on to a little different point, but the same concept of waiting, waiting for God, waiting for God's timing, knowing He hears, knowing He knows our needs. Another example to think about, I think about many of the young adults in this day and age and in the church, and many desire a spouse, a husband or a wife, and you know, there are many who live so spread out, and they're some of the only youth in the church, in their church area, to go to the regional events, or you know, whatever it may be. They try to have that network, but there is a desire to you know, start a family and meet that right person, quote unquote. But they don't know when that will come about. They pray about it. They go to God in great detail. They ask for the help that God can provide. And, you know, there are some very awesome stories where it totally seemed as though God's hand was in these individuals' meeting. But it took a long time for that to happen. But there is a patience that was there, and sometimes it does involve great patience. But it's not that God does not understand the needs that young adults or adults have to be married, and that there's a great help that is there. He knows that. But sometimes there is a waiting that involves, but He knows that there is that wonderful help in marriage because God set it apart. He's the one that established it. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2:18. We all need help in a variety of ways. As Mr. Blackwell has said a couple times, God knew that one half-wit needed the other half-wit to make a whole wit. And so we need that. There's a completion that is there. I think about Katie's help, and she's a great help to me. And how else would I know when I misspeak, you know? And when did you really mean to say this particular thing? Do you know how people are going to take that? Okay, yep, you're right. And she is a great help to me in that way and in many ways. You know, if I didn't receive some of the help even today on the way here, this message would be a little different. You probably would be scratching your head a little confused. You might already be confused, and that's okay. But, you know, there is a help that one can be to the other. And God knows that we are incomplete and has needs, and that we need the help that comes from God. Genesis 2 and verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." A helper. So He knows that we need help. Now, Adam had no one like him that he could directly relate to. Was he talking to chickens at a certain point and they weren't talking back? I need help. No, I need a companion. I need God's help and deliverance. And He knew that. He was in a perfect environment, but he was alone. And he needed a help to him. Now the word help here in verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And this word helper, the Hebrew word ezer, it literally means one who helps and to provide help or companionship. We can drop down to verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her, well, you get that word right, brought, not bought, he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, and man and his wife were not ashamed. Growing up in Kentucky, some pronounce it naked, some pronounce it naked. I think it's naked. But it was a good thing, and he needed the help, and God provided the help. So God knows the help that is there, but it takes great patience not to give in to Satan's temptations and to wait on a proper helper and spouse that comes from God, waiting on his timing, the right blessings. Now, in a man or a woman's mind, it might be, hey, this is an emergency. This is beyond an emergency, and I need help. And there is a waiting, and that takes patience. We might think of the patience of Jacob. He waited for Rachel, and he had great love for her, but he waited a long time. In Genesis 29 and verse 20, we don't have to turn there, but it says that Jacob waited for Rachel to be his wife, that he served 7 years for Rachel, and the time seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So there was a wonderful blessing that he knew could be there, and it wasn't, he was going to wait. He was going to have long suffering and patience and wait for God's timing on it. In all situations where there is patience and long suffering that is needed, it is never easy. But that's a part of a perfect work that he is completing with us. The trials and the tests that we go through, oftentimes it involves the testing of our patience so that we can be more of the perfect man that he has called us to be a part of. There is a growing and a changing. But there is a patience that we must have. And in all situations where there is that, we must realize, one, you know, help could already be on the way. We must be patient in that regard. Recognize that God hears our prayers. Help could be on the way. And also recognize that God provides us help as we wait for help. And this is the greatest help that we can have. And you think about God's mercy in the whole process. He recognizes our needs. He knows the help that we need in a variety of ways. And he also provides us help as we wait for help. And we need this as well, that this is the greatest help that we can receive from him. John 14 and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. You know, it isn't a spirit of error or partial truth. It is a spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. There is a help that God provides through the power of God's Holy Spirit. The word translated helper here in the New King James Version also has other translations, such as comforter in the King James Version. But it signifies not only comforter, this is the parakletos in the Greek, parakletos, and it means advocate or defender of a cause, or counselor, patron, or mediator. This according to Adam Clark's commentary. So we have help through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And this is no ordinary help. This is power from on high. Power from on high. Before Christ's disciples received the promised gift, he told them to wait or to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. It's the most important help that we can receive because it is help that comes from God. And when we think about the help that we have, it's help so we can bear the fruit of God's Spirit. Part of that involves long suffering or patience. So it helps us in the waiting. We sometimes have to ask God, I don't understand the situation, but please give me more of your Spirit so I can endure or so I can overcome this. You know, sin is something that we have to overcome in this life, but we can receive help from God. Sin brings about all kinds of emergency situations in the world today. Sin causes one to drift from God. And it may start out slow and just a little bit kind of gradual. It can be hurt feelings. It can be offended, whatever it may be. It can be other people causing one to be offended, not even being offended towards God, but it can cause one to drift. So it may start off slow. It may cause an individual to isolate themselves from God when they could receive help otherwise. But what happens is they keep drawing closer and closer to that spiritual cliff. But sometimes one can even be on the edge of the cliff, and as God figuratively has his hand out, "Let me help you, boy." There is the gun that comes out. "I'm not doing it. I'm not going to reach my hand. I'll never ask for help again." "Oh, let's have your feet slip a little bit more. And okay, help. I will. I need your help." We must always look to God for all help. He knows all that we need. He knows the challenges we face in this life. He gives us the help as we wait for help. And even at times when we look for help, if we don't even know the right words, he helps us with that too, through the power of his Spirit. He's a very loving God, very merciful. Romans 8 and verse 26, you know, when one gets to a point where they drift so far, they don't even know where to begin. And the best place is to start back on our knees. "Hey, I don't know what to say. I just want to be close to you. I need your help." Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." Sometimes one may not even know how to pray in a certain situation, and there's help for that. Or certain weaknesses that we need help with, God can help us. Finally, the last example that I'd like to look at in this split sermon is to look at the help provided through Jesus Christ. And we'll look at just a couple scriptures here to conclude. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our mediator, our advocate. He is our help. And he is the leader of the church. He is our help today, and he will help the entire world in the future, and will set up his government and perfect leadership in the future. The whole world is waiting for help that Jesus Christ will bring when the Father says, "Now is the time. Now is the time," and there will be that help. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." He knows all the tricks of and wiles of the devil. He knows what the pressure he can put and the oppression. But he also has overcome him in every possible way. And with the mind of Christ in us, we can have the help to overcome as well. But he isn't a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He provides us help and forgiveness. We can repent. That's a great help. You know, we don't just have these sins that are mounting and mounting and mounting and the weight of that. We can change and we can ask for forgiveness. But repentance is a big part of that. We can turn to him. We can repent, change, and be forgiven. And that is a wonderful help. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he is there to help the church overcome sin. Overcome sin and the result of sin, which is death, eternal death. I'd like to conclude by looking at one final scripture, Hebrews 7 and verse 20. Hebrews 7 and verse 20. He is the greatest high priest we could have. The greatest high priest, he is eternal. He knows everything. He can provide help in any way possible. And he is there in eternity, dwelling in eternity. He is the established high priest forever. Hebrews 7 and verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. You know, there was a rotation. Or not a rotation, but one would proceed. One would be appointed after one would die. Well, he is the established high priest. It's not going to happen. He dwells in eternity. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Over the last 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has not been sitting idly. He is actively on a throne of power at the right hand of God, leading, guiding, protecting, helping, and preparing his true church. He helps the church, and he helps us individually in the church. Overall, we have an amazing help that we can go to, and help that comes in a variety of ways. We can't be afraid to come to God for help. We can go boldly and find help. He knows all of the tricks of Satan. And just as Jesus Christ had the strength to overcome, he can help us to overcome in this life as well. So let's all make sure that we never get to the point where we are like a maverick, where we're refusing help, stop praying. Whether that be out of pride or self-righteousness or frustration or just a refusal to help, we must always have a sensitive heart, teachable heart, and sensitive to God's will and way of life, that we will go to him quickly and ask for help and be persistent, that we can be consistent, persistent and predictable in prayer, knowing that he has all the answers, he knows. And remember that if the answer is, please wait, also remember that help is on the way.